Hello, listeners. This is Terry Cheek. Friday, June 26, 2015. Welcome to Crisis and Concern. I released this morning via social media that I would be posting a broadcast this evening. There have been many things that have happened in our nation over the last week and since my last broadcast. I wanted to take the opportunity to address them, as many from the pulpit have, and many in Christian media have. I wanted to give some perspective from the rural, common, everyday perspective, because that is who I am. That is what I represent. I pastor a small rural church in the foothills of western North Carolina. I see blue-collar workers every service, every day. I myself am bivocational. I serve as a bivocational pastor by choice. After completing seminary and earning my PhD, I realized very quickly there are theological and doctrinal needs that are at the grassroots level. And those needs are not going to be met from the pulpit of a megachurch or the pulpit of a large congregation, even though there may be a very successful television ministry or a very successful broadcast ministry of some type or another. The circumstances that are taking place in America today, it is important that we get sound, fundamental doctrine and theology back into the community churches. That is why I do what I do. This broadcast is an extension of that ministry and an extension of that work. As I go about my daily routine in the workplace, I talk with many people. Some of them are Christian, some of them are not. Those that are Christian have varying degrees of understanding and varying degrees of opinion on many of the issues, some of which I will discuss today. I am concerned about America. I share the feelings of many Christian leaders nationally, those along with the Franklin Grahams, the Albert Mohlers, the Danny Aikens. I share a lot of their feelings and a lot of their concerns. We see America and the people in America moving down a very ungodly and doctrinally unsound path. One that is dangerous not just to the people today, to those that are supporting certain decisions, to those that really may not make a stand on decisions. And those, might I say, are some of the most dangerous positions we can take. If we just say, I don't believe in it, or I don't accept it, or I don't like it, but I'm not willing to make a stand, I'm not willing to say anything, I'm not willing to do anything, we are being part of the problem, not part of the solution. A few things that are close to my heart today that I want to discuss. First is the circumstances surrounding Bristol Palin. Bristol Palin, Sarah Palin's oldest daughter, I think it's her oldest, anyway, she's a 24-year-old daughter of Sarah Palin. She released earlier this week that she is expecting her second child. She is still an unwed mother, and I have noticed some very cruel, very insensitive, and very, might I say, intolerant postings by progressives, political progressives, on social media. Some of them I know personally, and might I say I am very ashamed of some of the postings they put out. While I do not condone the behavior of Bristol Palin, I will say that she has engaged in premarital sex, obviously, and As a result of that, that is an immoral act. It is a sexual sin. I think that Miss Palin knows that. I think she has acknowledged that publicly. I will say this, if I could sit down with Bristol Palin as a pastor and speak with her, I would share with her the very same things that I have shared with other single mothers in my pastorate, and I have counseled a few. I would like to say to Miss Palin, first of all, you cannot undo what is done. You may be brokenhearted. You may be sorry that it happened. But you must come face to face with the reality. This is the consequences of your behavior. And even though it may be unpopular today, we must realize our decisions have consequences. All of them do. It does not matter where we stand politically. It doesn't matter where we stand socially or economically. It doesn't matter where we stand inside the confines of the church. Our decisions have consequences. I would tell Ms. Palin that abortion will not change these consequences. I don't know if she's contemplating that. But I will say abortion will not change these consequences. Abortion cannot be used as a birth control method. Abortion cannot be used in any situation or any circumstance with any level of effect. It too is a sin. And you cannot undo one sin with another. I would encourage Ms. Palin to sincerely repent of her sins, of her failures, of her faults. I would encourage her to seek a true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I would encourage her, as I would encourage anyone involved in sexual sin, to avoid it, to flee from it, to remove herself or themselves from the influences that pull them into these decisions. She's going to be a mother of two. Embrace that. Embrace that. Love those children with all of your heart. Have those children in church. Put them in a godly church, in a Bible-believing, in a Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. Be involved yourself. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Read Bible stories to those children. Love them. Grow with them. And let them grow with you. Last I would tell from Ms. Palin, be seeking within God's will for the husband that He has picked for you. Allow Him to put those men in your life. Allow Him to reach down to you, to touch your heart, to lead, guide, and direct you. This doesn't have to be the end of anything, and it can be the beginning of everything. But it will require repentance. God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. And there are many good, sound, sincere Christians who are willing to help you, who are willing to pray with you, and who are willing to guide you and direct you. I say all of this out of love, not being judgmental, not being hateful, not being mean. And to those out there who wish to take her circumstances and situations and politicize it, may God have mercy on you. Next, I would like to take opportunity to discuss the Supreme Court. There have been now two major rulings this week, both of them very controversial, to say the least. The whole issue on the Affordable Care Act, it is what it is. It is purely political in its standings. Honestly, I don't see how anyone could possibly, with any sincere conscience whatsoever, spin this that it's going to actually help anyone. I know people personally that are that receive those subsidies. Yes, it does help them financially. However, in some of those instances, All it does is give them more spending money. It doesn't gain anything. I mean, it's just a matter of poor financial management after the fact, not before the fact, but after the fact. In the end, the whole Affordable Care thing is political propaganda, and there's no interest in helping anyone other than buying votes for a political party or a political candidate. I'm sure there are an isolated few that have been helped immensely by it. And to those, I share in your joy, and I share in your being helped, because there is no doubt in anyone with common sense anyway, that the medical industry is full of greed and full of corruption, just like politics is. And that greed and that corruption is driving the markets, and it's driving them away from being people-centered and driving them to being profit-centered. But again, you can't fix one sin by enacting another. The second one, the vote today or the ruling today on same-sex marriage. I'm not going to jump into a big rant. It will serve no purpose. I'm certainly not going to jump into finger-pointing, name-calling, and I refuse to be drawn into the political ballyhoo that's going on. I refuse to be a political party disciple. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of Him. I refuse to be pulled into that other nonsense and the foolishness. I will say this regarding the ruling on same-sex marriage. The ruling of the Supreme Court today does no more for same-sex marriage than Roe v. Wade did for abortion. Roe v. Wade did not end anything with abortion. Today's ruling will not end anything with same-sex marriage. As a matter of fact, it set in place a crumbling of a God-given institution. It set in place an endorsement of sin by our government and an endorsement of a sinful lifestyle by our government. It set in place a mixture of disobedience and a teaching of disobedience to the Word of God. I will say this to the Supreme Court. You will stand accountable to God for your decision today. Each one of you will. I don't say that out of hate or anger or fear, but I do say it as a man of God, as a preacher of the gospel, so that you will know. And you cannot stand before God and say, I've never been told. You have made a decision today that you must repent of, spiritually and publicly. You can do that. God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you, and He's willing to save you of your sin. But you must be willing to come to Him. You must be willing to stand on the gospel and not throw it away. You must be willing to take it seriously and let it speak and lead your lives, which is something that our leaders in Washington and in many states across this nation are failing and failing miserably to do. As I close today, I want to mention Charleston, South Carolina. I would like to say a hearty amen to that AME church in Charleston. You have done more to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in this last week or so than many men do in pulpits, in church services, and on broadcast media. I'm thankful for the testimony that you're giving to this nation. I appreciate you. I appreciate what you stand for. I realize today that our president traveled to Charleston to give a eulogy. I think that is a very appropriate thing for him to do. It is a very, very supportive and very good thing for him to do. I do have one reservation about it. Given the fact that this president was reelected on a platform of being against same-sex marriage. He was against it in his first election. He was against it in his second election. And now he has become enlightened to it. Hillary Clinton took the same stand during her campaigns. Now she has been enlightened to it. Given their positions and their support and their antagonism of this sinful behavior, I find it difficult for me to find and for me to see how he can walk into the house of God, in front of the people of God, in the presence of God the Holy Spirit, stand behind the pulpit that preaches the message of the Word of God, and yet do so without any conviction of an ungodly life that he is leading. Mr. President, I pray every day for you. I pray for our Congress, and I pray for our Supreme Court. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch your heart and that you will be drawn to salvation. I pray that this nation will return to God. That is all that I can do. I'm going to continue to preach the inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. And I will do so with love and conviction and compassion, but I will not compromise it. Not for the Supreme Court, not for the President of the United States, not for the Congress, not for anyone, for any reason, based upon any law of any land. May God bless you is my prayer. Until next time, this is Pastor Terry Cheek, closing with Crisis and Concern.